Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I Don't Get It podcast. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the I Get It podcast. Plot twist. Today, Ashley, Lauren, and I, it is Naz, we are going to ramble on some things that we actually do get, and then we will be joined by the sage, wise relative of the iConnettys, Uncle Robert, later on in the podcast. But just so you guys know, Lauren's audio might be weird on this podcast because we recorded it on different days. But yeah, we decided to do I Get It because why not?
We're right? Like positive, you know, we're trying to be positive in this life right now, right?
Yeah.
It was very difficult for me to think of one.
You know what's so weird? It was easier for me to think of I Get It than I Don't Get It. But my I Get It will be most people, or is probably a lot of people's I Don't Get It. So
really?
It's technically the same thing if we're being meta.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because something okay. that you don't get is sometimes something that I get. And something that yeah. I get is something that you don't get. So it's really all the same.
I actually have an I don't get it, I get it. I have a get it, and then a spinoff of it is an I don't get
okay.
it.
Okay. And because I am Larry David and cynical and negative, I actually want to start off with an I don't get it
yeah,
before I start
same
with my
here.
Too. Okay, Ashley, what's yours?
Oh, Lauren's going to laugh at me because this is how old I've gotten, that I can't stop talking about this one sparkling water. Like, Lauren's like, holy shit, Ashley, I've been with you so much this week and you bring it up to everyone. It's Spindrift.
Yes, yeah, Spindrift. And Spindrift has been around for a very
Forever.
Long time.
The grapefruit one. Yeah, is like everyone's favorite.
You guys.
Everyone loves Spindrift.
Well, Spindrift is having...
I think that was...
It's having a...
Around before LaCroix.
It's having a moment, yeah. though, because... All of a sudden on social media, people are comparing Spindrift to LaCroix and Bubbly. And my I don't get it is why anyone would choose Bubbly or LaCroix over Spindrift. This stuff tastes fresh. This is like a sparkling
all,
juice.
What the fuck happened to our love for Perrier? Like, what happened
oh,
to
I
you?
Like Perrier.
Perrier is number one. You got me on Perrier Slim Cans, and that is the number one sparkling
Slim
water.
Cans.
There is no fucking competition. So where are you coming out here with this old Spindrift stuff?
Have you had a lemon
past
Spindrift?
Week? I've had a lemon. I've had the grapefruit Spindrift.
Okay, don't. Have a lemon. Grapefruit. And then this is how I told you. I told you have the Perrier, you know, a
lime.
Lemon, a lime, and then you put a lemon in it. And that is
and it tastes
freaking
like Sprite.
Delicious. But if you don't want to do the work of like cutting the lemon and you just need to run and go, get a lemon Spindrift. It has lemon squeeze in it fresh and it's full
It literally
calories.
Tastes like a full lemon in it. But sometimes I think it's almost a little too tart.
But it tastes like, does it taste like Sprite? Because when you get a Perrier Lime Slim Can.
It doesn't.
And you... Okay, see, no, I need it to taste like Sprite. And you cut a lemon in half, squeeze some lemon into it. It literally tastes like Sprite,
That's
Ashley,
what I'm
like
saying.
You told me.
Spindrift tastes more like a juice. And then
no,
if
ew.
You do like a LaCroix or a Perrier, that tastes more like a soda.
Yeah, I want a soda. If it's carbonated, I want it to taste like soda. I don't want it to taste like juice.
Okay, but when I...
And then I'll just have champagne or Prosecco or a bubbly.
Wait, what? Champagne and Prosecco?
Alcohol?
Yeah, like if you're having something bubbly that's juicy, it should, in my eyes, just at least get you buzzed. What's the point? Then you're just wasting calories.
It's not. That's the
There's
whole
zero
thing,
calories.
Naz. This has... 3 calories. Look at this. 3 calories.
What's the amount of sugar? What? How many grams of sugar?
Zero. Zero total
really?
Sugar.
Wow.
I know. Okay, so when
All
I
right,
get back
every
to
time
LA.
Ashley and I would go to a... Whenever we went to a restaurant last week or had any kind of meal, Ashley would be like, oh... Have you had a Spindrift, Lauren? And I'm like, yes, Ashley, I've had a Spindrift. And then the next day, Lauren, you have to have a Spindrift. And I'm like, are you high?
But I will say, who in
That's
the world?
That's like when your parents get excited about stuff and they keep repeating it. And you're like, Mom,
yes.
I know. I know
I'm
that
like,
the hefty trash bags are better than the black one. Yes,
you guys.
I know.
But Who in the world would name their drink Spindrift? That is such a mouthful. And I think that's why it suffered compared to the other bubbly brands.
I would argue that Spindrift rolls right off the tongue and is a beautiful, really fun word to say.
Well, LaCroix, people got LaCroix.
LaCroix, no one even knows how to pronounce. If someone mentions that or drinks that around me, I literally want to walk up to them and like knock it down to the ground and be like, stop drinking moose saliva. I don't understand the appeal
of LaCroix.
Of LaCroix or LaCroix. I don't get it.
I like it. I just like the bubbles. I need bubbles if I'm having a meal. So if it's no calories, I'll drink anything with bubbles.
Right, but get Perrier. Don't get moose saliva.
I don't like LaCroix's taste very much either. I also don't understand. That's another name. Like, people ended up understanding how to pronounce LaCroix because we were all drinking it. So it was like, oh, okay, mm-hmm. I get it. Bubbly, fantastic name. Perrier, also Bublé. Pretty great. Freaking Spindrift? That is...
Because it was around before that. Maybe.
I like the name Spindrift. Things. I will say my favorite name and one of my top favorite right under Perrier is Topo Chico. Topo Chico is such a fun name to say. And it's like the best mineral, like carbonated water, like the plain original flavor right under Perrier.
I can't see it. I don't
Have
know.
You had a high so noon if you, yet, Naz? You've had a high noon.
No, I haven't had high noon.
Well, it's blowing the Truly's and the, what are they called? White Claws out of the water. They're going to have to compete hardcore because high noons are sold out everywhere in New England because it's a total New England drink.
They're delicious. They are so like, really, I would get wasted every day.
Wow. Fun secret if you don't have access to that. I do want to, I'm going to try the Spindrift Lemon and I'm going to try the High Noon. And then mm-hmm. I'll get back to you guys. Okay. But
both
just so everyone knows, something
pineapple.
That's really affordable and good is the Trader Joe's Spiked Seltzer. Their brand is really cheap. We'll get you a little buzzed. I mean, honestly, we should be sponsored by all these fucking people. It'll get you really buzzed. And it's like really affordable and pretty decent.
Interesting. Okay.
Naz, what is your... Don't get it starting off the
Okay, so my I don't get it. And this was sparked by a conversation with my brother who I don't talk about my brother a lot, but my brother still lives with my parents. He's 4 years younger than me. He's extremely tall. He has such a good body. I love men's fashion, so I always try and dress him, but he refuses to like dress the way I want him to dress. And like, I mean, whatever. He's like living a happy life just being who he is, and I'm being like an annoying person. But my brother wears hair gel and again, he's from South Florida, We're Dominican and my dad wears hair gel. And I literally am like trying to explain to them that like, it's like not a thing. And then,
not it.
And you guys know, I went on a date recently with someone that all the three of us know mm-hmm. and he was wearing hair gel. And I was like, what? Like, I don't get
You're
hair
dating
gel.
Yourself.
Like, I don't get
You're
hair
so
gel
dating
on men. Like,
yourself.
Just don't wear hair gel. I don't know. You don't need it. Get a pomade. Like,
but even like, pomade.
But a little bit. Like, a little Noah Centineo, like, for a little Harry Styles
Noah
for, like,
Centineo.
Texture.
Harry Styles.
Like, I don't want your hair, like, completely, like, hard with hair gel.
I mean, it's hard. It literally. My dad uses the Got to Be gel that people lay wigs down with. I'm not kidding. He uses that to slick his hair down. And I know that that's my 64-year-old dad's look, and I'm not changing that, but we got to elevate Chris a little
bit. Wait, Lauren,
you know?
Dad?
That's what I'm saying.
Dad
Chris
doesn't look like
young.
He has any product in his hair, though. It looks dry. When he just like flattens it out.
He just lightly rubs it down. Yeah. But
it's just funny because most women, I don't want to generalize, but most of us, like try and sort of like pay attention to trends and like what's, you know what I mean? We're always trying new things. And I feel like men just like learn something when they're teenagers and they keep it going forever. The same Velcro wallet. I'm like, it is time to grow up. Like, I need to have an intervention with him. And my brother's so good looking, actually. Like, he's so tall. Yeah. He's such a cutie. I'm like, if you would just like not put
What does it look
here,
like when he has no product in his hair?
It looks so
does
like
it look
Noah
good?
Centineo. And he's
Damn
like,
it.
He's like, that's messy. that's messy. Like, and I'm
people
like,
want messy. See, that's the thing what I'm is, telling he doesn't him. Look at magazines. He doesn't look at Instagram Discover pages. He doesn't know that now messy is it.
Exactly. And so he thinks lived it's like in. A mess, you know? And I'm like, no, that's what you should have.
Okay. What do we all agree that Jason Tartik is a very handsome man. Is that gelled look, or did he have a gelled look? He had a gelled look, and now that he's grown his hair out during quarantine, it's like more free ball.
Ashley, you just threw a wrench in it. I know. Because you know how I feel about Jason's face. But you know why?
It's because Jason has that like Frank Sinatra flair, that New York attitude.
Jason in my head isn't really Frank Sinatra. He's more like a Bill Rancic. Like he's like a business, like swag. He has like a little
swag. Personality-wise. I mean, look-wise.
He does not look like Frank Sinatra. Frank Sinatra has like blue eyes and like is like a skinny white guy.
I mean the New York Italian look.
I don't know. It's not correlating.
So you think that New York Italians can pull off gel?
Some maybe.
Is that what you're saying?
I don't know what he puts in his hair. He probably just like blow dries it back and then has this tiniest bit of pomade, maybe aerosol hairspray.
I think you're exactly right. Like, I think Jason puts the right amount of product in his hair and it doesn't look like it's overly gelled, but it's styled.
Because you need that one little piece to fall.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But
okay. You need a piece to fall on your face to push back purely for the sex appeal.
You know what's scary? And I have to say it and I'm not cutting it out. It's scary that I have to, like, I just spent the last 60 seconds pondering whether it would sound bad and people would get offended by the fact that I said that he was a New York Italian and therefore he could wear gel. But then if you're not a New York Italian, you may not be able to get away with gel. Like, what kind of world
Ashley
are we
thinks
living
you don't
in?
Need gel. Yeah.
No, well, I agree. It's like anyone can wear gel.
No, of course. Anybody can if they want. I'm just saying who it looks best on. But then people might get sensitive over it. And
what I think is funny is the past 60 seconds, I pondered on just simply what product Jason Tartik
exactly.
uses.
I thought that's what you were going to say, Ashley. I was like, yeah, I find it funny
like
we really care.
We really care about his hair.
And the fact that I had an opinion on it ready to go. Like I'd already known. My brain has already observed his hair multiple times that I like knew what to say. I'm like, what is my life?
That's funny.
Oh, that's okay. Funny.
It's hilarious. So recently I was on our Facebook group and I read someone posted that they were looking for a therapist or a counselor. And that's why I'm so stoked to tell you guys about BetterHelp because they're actually a sponsor on our podcast. And it is a great way to get matched with a licensed therapist or counselor. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change counselors if you want. And what I love about them is that it's more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid's available because we all know how expensive this stuff is.
Yeah, it's funny. Also, I was going to say, it's funny we always are talking about dating, you know, and dating apps and being matched with humans for dating, but like you can also go and get matched with the perfect therapist
online.
You need
chemistry with your therapist.
You need to. Lauren, like, tests them out.
Exactly. And what's great is that BetterHelp helps clients worldwide. So no matter where you're listening to our podcast from or wherever you live, as long as you have an internet connection, you can get help. And they have licensed professional counselors who are specialized in depression, stress, anxiety, sleeping. I've been having a lot of issues with sleeping as of late, which is so annoying. For some reason, I wake up at like 3 a.m. every day now. Anger, family conflicts, self-esteem, and also anything you share is confidential. So they are convenient, professional, and affordable. And if you don't believe Ashley or Lauren and I, you can actually read a bunch of testimonials posted daily on their site. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they're recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states.
We want you guys to start living a happier life today. So as a listener, you're going to get 10% off your first month by visiting betterhelp.com/get it. You'll join over 1 million people taking charge of their mental health. Again, that is betterhelp.com/get it.
Okay. Are we going to do our get it?
Okay. Yeah. Get it.
Okay. Should I start?
Yes.
You start.
Okay. A topic that's come up a lot recently, I don't know why, just randomly, like with friends that I've been talking to, is air conditioning. I am from Florida. And so in Florida, you have to have a sweater everywhere you go because it's so hot outside that the AC is ramped the fuck up everywhere you go. Any restaurant, any hotel lobby you walk into, it is cold. And that is how I love things. I have to go to bed when it,
I have to sleep in 62 degrees. And that's everyone so in California thinks I'm crazy because most people don't even put their AC on. I even have my AC on in the winter. I know that that's not environmentally friendly. It's like the sound and the coldness. I need to sleep in like a cold, dark cave. I just love AC so much. Always would always prefer to have it on than not have it on and then throw a sweater on and a blanket. Yes, but a lot of people are like, it's my biggest, I get it. Like, I don't understand how people sleep without air conditioning that can afford to and are privileged enough to have it. And I don't understand how people are like anti AC.
Ashley, I'm sure you have a strict opinion.
I am not anti air conditioning. I believe in air conditioning. I like having the accessibility of air conditioning. However, I do, I vehemently, is that a word? Vehemently.
Vehemently.
You know the word I'm trying to say.
Yes.
Do not relate to here is wanting, rather putting on a sweater in your own home and keeping the air conditioning on, then turning the AC off and just walking around with a tank top and shorts. I will always prefer.
Because it's cozy.
I will always prefer. Lauren, cozy? I have no desire to be cozy when it's summertime.
That is like the one desire of all three of us.
Not when it's summertime. I love wearing nothing. That's my thing. I love a crop top.
That's your thing.
And I love shorts.
If I have to expose my feet, if I can't wear socks, if I'm so hot, I have to take my socks off, then that's very uncomfortable
to
me.
Look at my socks right now.
Socks.
Yes.
I have slippers on right now.
Yeah,
but don't your feet get sweaty?
Fucking sweaty. If there's no AC, you can't wear socks and like slippers. If there's no AC on, then you're just done. Your feet are sweating.
I like my ideal room temperature, like my room temperature would be 75 or maybe 76.
Oh, no.
But I know that's disgusting. Too high for most people. But like, that's what I would like. That's what I could walk around in a tank top and shorts. And
Ashley walks around like since forever, just like with her little like boxer briefs on basically that she sleeps in. She'll come downstairs in them with her bare sticky feet and then be like, I'm cold. It's like, put fucking clothes on.
A lot of you guys, like, you put your sweats on and you're still kind of cold. Like, no, I don't want to wear sweats in the summer. I want to just, my natural habitat that I feel my most beautiful in is just a little bit sticky.
I want to be a little bit extra cold so I can run around and like do things without getting heated.
Yeah, I'm the same way. And I think to be more specific, my get it is sleeping. I should have been way more specific because obviously air conditioning is so broad. But my I get it is sleeping in extremely cold temperature, like 60 to 62.
What?
Well, that's like extreme to some people, I guess.
That is
extreme.
62 is frigid for a room.
Oh my God, it's so nice.
We put it on 68 here, and that's like just maybe 1 degree too cold.
I put it on 68 when I sleep too. I think the 68 is a good sleeping temperature.
No. And I can't put it on 69. I feel weird if it's an odd number. And
Lauren and I don't do odd numbers.
I like put it on 68. 62 is a good number for me. Anyways, that's my I get it, is sleeping in extremely cold temperatures.
Okay, Lauren?
Okay. Well, I've been watching Married at First Sight, as I always do, and there's this adorable couple, Amelia and
Bennett.
And they are so eclectic, and they just literally don't give two shits of what anyone thinks about them. So this week they showed each other their houses, and they just have all this stuff that they love, but nothing goes together. So what I do get and what I wish I could be more like is literally just collecting things that bring me joy and displaying them and not worrying that it doesn't go with everything. And like, it's on a neutral color. Like, I just want to have something that makes you smile and then leave it there, you know? But if it doesn't go, I won't worry
about
it.
But I bet you that all their stuff goes because it's eclectic.
No, it does not.
You look at it and you're like, tacky, this is not good.
He strung an alligator on a fishing wire from just like a random point in his house because he wanted to look at that alligator because it made him smile.
Wait, that's so sweet.
Yeah, he's like, I like it just here. And it's like, that's so weird and obviously shouldn't be there. But if you want to look at it and it's cool to you, then do it. And I wish I could have more like weird things.
Well, right? Lauren, that's like how my rooms used to be. That was like my all my Jonas rooms and my NSYNC rooms. Like I slapped every picture and every little collectible. I display it. And then I grew up and I turned into this person that needs to have like this monochromatic room and everything needs to like just be pretty. And if it's not pretty, like when Jared brings home his Christmas Snoopy things and like you know, he brings home the Charlie Brown like on ice skates. And I'm like, Jared, this is not a home goods item that looks cute in our Christmassy apartment.
Well, see, but the thing is, I joy. Think you have to have so much of the weird stuff that you don't even know that it doesn't go.
Right. It can't like stick out. It has to be amongst like a bunch of like an antique store.
You have to go full throttle or none
at all.
Wasn't
my old rooms full throttle? It did bring me so much joy. It showed my personality.
So is that who you are deep down, Ashley? Like, is that what you'd prefer your house to look like? Or are you just more into aesthetic now?
I'm more into aesthetic now.
Yeah, so you grew out of that. You're not that person anymore.
I know, but I do understand how that like truly makes you happy, and it's like your personality threw up on your wall, and I kind of love
it. Yeah, that's their houses.
Yeah, like it's anyways. It's fun. Yeah, like when you think of kids' rooms, they're like way more expressive.
Exactly. Yeah. So we lost our creativity in these two people on Married at First Sight. I'm sure a lot of you listening out there have watched Married at First Sight. I know you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, they're awesome.
Like she just has all these like earrings around that are so bizarre looking, but she creates these earrings and I'm like, those don't go with anything. Mm-hmm. And they're there. Mm. And I do get that for certain
like,
people.
She also
and
had her bridesmaids like come down on a unicycle. So
absolutely.
What? Yeah. This girl sounds dope.
She's also you a should doctor. Watch
can we get her on the podcast?
She's a real doctor.
Maybe, yeah. We can ask Paria.
Yeah, we could definitely have them on the podcast once their season's over, for sure.
I would love that.
Cool. Okay, oh my gosh, you guys. You know we love talking about this next sponsor. They're such a genius brand. They're Ethel Ambrosia, and they make alcoholic shot glasses that you can send to your house for the girliest, cutest party. They're alcoholic
jello shots.
Did I mention that they were jello shots? No, I didn't. Okay, they're jello shots. They taste so good. They're the most feminine things for bachelorette parties, for baby showers, except the mom can't drink it. Anything that's super, it's just a girl's night, GNO. It's gluten-free and it doesn't it's vegan. It's vegan.
It's vegan. And they have like many different flavors. They have rosé, mojito, citrus punch, and a Moscow mule.
They're 15% alcohol.
15% alcohol. Quite effective. And I'm not very good at drinking, but I am good at eating. So I use these whenever I go to a party and I want to fit in. You know what I mean?
1,000%. And what's great is we know it's been hard to socialize with your friends these last few months. So when we heard about Ethel Ambrosia, like a company that literally delivers artisanal jello shots to your door, we were like, oh my God, we are so here for it because we are 10 times better at eating than drinking. And you know what's funny is when it comes to weed, like I love edibles, and when it comes to alcohol, I love jello shots. Like it's just such a fun way of like taking it in. But not only can you buy this for yourself, it's great social distance. Like I was saying, if you have a friend that has a birthday, if you guys are planning something over Zoom,
so
like you can
cute.
Send a box to their house.
So cute.
It's so cute. It's original. It's not basic. It's not like what everyone's getting. It's the perfect fun, boozy gift to send a friend for their birthday, engagement, just surviving quarantine. If you have a friend that's like down, like Ashley and Lauren said, it's vegan, which is also why I love it. And they have this patent pending cup. The little cups are so cute. They look like champagne glasses and they're kind of like a push-up pop or cup, so you never have to use your finger.
Oh, that's
or tongue
a whole
to, like,
other
get
element
it
to it that makes it super cool. It's like nostalgic. So also important to know, it's female owned and the owner is an I Don't Get It fan. So you guys, if you want to try the cutest, coolest drink right now, they're offering 50% off plus free shipping just for the I Don't Get It listeners. So to order a box or to send some of these boozy treats to a friend, head to ethelambrosia.com. That is ethelambrosia.com. All right, you got that? ethelambrosia.com. And enter the promo code GETIT at checkout for 15% off your order.
Okay, my I get it is McFlurries.
But see, the thing is, like, because who the hell doesn't get McFlurries?
But it is the number one dessert in the entire world next to water parks and the s'more. It's the greatest thing America has given to the world.
McFlurries.
Is a McDonald's
And if you
McFlurry.
Dip the fries in that McFlurry.
McFlurries are undeniably one of the greatest desserts. And this is me saying this as somebody who doesn't put ice cream at the top of their dessert choice list. I put mostly baked goods up there, pies and cakes and cookies, brownies.
You don't like cake.
I do. Remember how we had this whole discussion on the podcast a couple months ago? How I
you
said
like it now?
That in quarantine, like I now? Decided that I was obsessed with cake.
Oh, yes, yes. And you made one at home.
Funfetti's.
I'm sorry, I forgot. Yes, yes. We are always evolving. I forgot.
We are always
I know. I just.
Damn.
I know. I think if you back to episode one,
we don't
one
have that in
don't
common
like
anymore.
Cake.
I'm pissed.
I know.
Okay,
I'm sorry.
But yes, keep going.
And then the McFlurry is just, it's so good. It's almost underrated because we don't talk about McFlurries and give them enough respect more often. But
now
here,
let me tell you
here it turns. Here it turns. I only get M&M McFlurries. I don't understand people who get Oreo McFlurries, but I have to say, I've never had one.
What? That's crazy. You need to have the Oreo to know how incredible the M&M
was. Just have
was.
A taste of someone else's when they get
I will
Oreo.
Say, I feel like I am a proponent of the, I think the M&M McFlurry is the number one dessert in the entire world. It is number one. S'mores is number two for me. And I actually do try and bring awareness to the McFlurry. I post every time I eat one. And I agree with you 1,000%. Like, it is literally the greatest dessert ever.
It is.
Ever.
And I went to Carvel like a month ago, and they have their version of an M&M McFlurry. It's just vanilla soft serves with M&Ms in it. And I was like, it'll just be a McFlurry. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Not the same.
It's not the same.
Have you honestly, I didn't finish it. I didn't even, I took two bites and I was like, this is not worth
it's
it.
It's the hardness.
I don't know what it is.
It's the perfect hardness of their ice cream,
it's
which is probably not
serve.
Even
That's
real
why
ice
it's
cream.
So amazing. It's custardy.
It's custardy and the M&Ms that add the crunch. And if you get the extra M&Ms and the spoon is so
You've
delightful. It's so long.
M&Ms
and I think it's a spoon.
And it's the spoon just gets the best scoop. And it's like the power that you get from the scoop because the stem of the spoon is just like perfectly, the perfect length.
Yes.
Oh. I will eat that to the last drop.
I will eat
sure.
that to the same. Last drop.
Same, same. And you know what's amazing?
It's a great, I
is
it.
The fact that they have like every bite is guaranteed an M&M. You never get a bite that's just vanilla ice cream.
Oh, it's so good. And if they don't put enough M&Ms in it, like, I'm sorry, you need to drive back and ask them to put more. Like, don't do that to yourself. That's a great, I get it.
Okay, thanks. I just want to clarify.
I was trying to veer off food.
Oh, wait, I just wanted to tell everybody.
I have one that's not food.
Wait, can I just tell everybody that I think that I'm going to get a lot of hate on the Oreo comment, but here's the deal. I like Oreos as themselves, but I'm not a huge fan in general of Oreos being an adornment to other things.
Adornment, a word we will hear later on in this podcast.
Exactly.
Yes. Love it. Okay, so one of my I get it's is fucking Disney World. When I am around somebody that doesn't understand the importance and relevance of Disney in all of its glamour, and I am not discriminating against one thing or the other. The movies, the parks, the joy, the happiness. Disney is a feeling that you embody. And when I'm around someone that doesn't like Disney, I just, it's almost in the same vein of how I don't trust cats. I'm like, I don't understand how you don't enjoy this very happy, joyful thing in the world. Like, I want to sing the songs. I want to walk around Disney. I want to buy the ears. I want to watch Disney movies to make me feel better. Even though, you know, there are a lot of issues in the early movies that we have now tried to revise. I am a Disney girl through and through. I'm sure a part of that is growing up in Florida and going multiple times and just watching the movies. I know I'm not like unique in this. I get it. But I just bring it up because I know there are a lot of people, and I used to live with someone that just like didn't understand Disney.
I definitely understand Disney. I like going there. I just wish that the parks weren't so like Mickey Mouse oriented or like, when was the last time you watched a fucking Mickey Mouse
it's
movie?
True, Naz. We don't care about Mickey. Sorry.
Like,
I have
if
no
you have all the classic
I do care
around.
About Mickey is so high fashion. Like, wearing Mickey. I'm sorry. Mickey is like, he's like, he's so meta. He represents like all of Walt's dreams.
Walt's? Yeah. Should we really protect his dreams?
Walt had a dream. A dream is a wish your heart makes. I fucking love Mickey Mouse. And I want him on my ice cream that I buy at the park. I want to eat both of his ears first, and then I want to eat his face.
I get what you mean when he's fashionable. It is kind of cool because like they do put that shape on so many things, and it looks really classic.
It's iconic. It's three circles.
Yeah. And
it's definitely iconic.
I get what you mean. There have been, but I'm just saying Disney in general. Obviously we can get in the nitpicky. I've been at a park and I'm like, Hercules needs more presence in this park.
Yes. Hercules needs to be around more. I want to eat Hercules face. You know what I'm saying?
And like Pocahontas, so Hunkules. Not prevalent at the park.
Why is there not a John Smith character running around people?
I want those old, you know how we had the Pocahontas chocolate bars? I want to walk into a store that has chocolate bars that have all the characters printed on them in like the different scenes, because the chocolate bars we used to get 7-Eleven in 1995 had scenes printed on them. I need that kind of magic. But Naz, we are talking about the parks, right? Disney parks.
No. Oh. I was talking about Disney in general. Oh. I said all of it. The parks, the movies. Like there are people out there, I'm sure a lot of them are listening, that just don't get Disney. They didn't grow up with Disney. They don't take to Disney. They don't really like Disney. And Disney is one of my biggest, I get it. Like when I meet someone, obviously there's obsessed type people that like dedicate their lives to Disney. I am not one of those people. I am not like, I have to go to the park every Thanksgiving or whatever. Yeah. I'm just saying I understand like the appeal and the love and the feeling behind what Disney like exudes.
But on the topic of the parks, I would just say that if I felt more productive at them, then I would like them more. I just feel like every time I go, I'm able to go on like three rides a whole day.
I do agree with that. I mean, listen, I'm not going to get into the intricacies of the issues behind the park. I will say if I get on a couple rides, if I have some Dole Whip and an ice cream and I watch fireworks at the end of the night to a Cinderella score and soundtrack, then it is a good day for me.
I know.
Now, the best time I've ever had with Disney like involved was when I went to the Nightmare Before Christmas Oogie Boogie celebration.
Anything dark. Okay.
You went there.
It was the coolest thing ever. The entire park is dark and spooky.
It's Halloween.
The food is almost better than it's ever been on a normal day. And all the villains are running around.
Fun. Yeah, that's sick. That's really fun. I agree with you. There should be like Disney villain. I also want I would love for them to make like a Wakanda park. I know Whoopi Goldberg, you know how Chadwick Boseman just passed? Whoopi Goldberg recently said like, it'd be so sick if Disney made a Wakanda park. And I'm like, yes. Like I need more Marvel superheroes like in my, Disney's
I'm
the
sure
best.
They will.
That'd be amazing.
They really should. Yeah.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
All right. Well, now it's time for my get it. Are we you guys have already exacerbated your get it?
I have one.
No, what? I have a whole list. I thought we were going in order.
I don't know. Like, we're already almost halfway through.
No, I have like 10 more.
Okay. So I guess it's my turn.
Okay, yep. So I get Zac Efron. I've been watching his show now, the Netflix show, which I wrote off early on because I was like, this episode is boring. I've even been to Iceland and I still think this episode's boring. But then I started watching more. And it's not that I think the show is so fantastic. I do like the concept that he's going around the world and exploring these different cultures. It's very...
What's it called? What's the show called?
Oh, God. Zac Efron.
I'll look it up.
Okay. And it's not... Like, I like the concept of the show. I think it needed to be a little bit tighter. But I'm not...
Down to earth down with to Zac Efron.
It's not... This is not a review of the show right now. This is a review of Zac Efron. He is so comforting to me to watch. I feel like I knew him in another life. And
wow.
Do you feel like that,
really?
Lauren?
I agree. I do. I feel like I know him.
Wow. It's like almost weird because Lauren and I met him in the briefest of moments where he told Lauren that he liked her tiara in 2007 at the Hairspray premiere in Baltimore. Okay, but wow. I feel like we knew each other in a different life, that we are friends, and I try to figure it out.
I really understand his humor.
Me too.
His humor is so funny.
His humor's funny, but like relatable funny. Like then he's nerdy, and you know that he would never make fun of, like he would never make you feel uncomfortable. Even if you were nervous around him, he would like make you feel super normal.
So what I'm gathering, because I don't know much about Zach aside from like High School Musical and a couple other movies, and I have not watched this show, nor have I ever met him. What I'm gathering is that you're saying Zach has a very warm soul as opposed to what we've been projected, which is sort of like this guy that like all of a sudden got super jacked and like isn't with Vanessa anymore and is like kind of intimidating.
He's so approachable. Every time I watch him in an interview, I'm like, who is this guy? Yeah, because he is, I think he might be one of those rare hot guys who truly has the a true nerd inside him. Not one of those guys that's like, oh, I'm a nerd. I'm a loser.
Right.
No, like he actually is so normal. And this is my big, this is going to be big, guys. This is embarrassing. But I'm going to say it. If I,
Oh no.
I truly feel like, if I had met Zach before I ever met Jared, I would have dated him.
Wow. Wow. Lauren, well, we got to get Us Weekly to run that line.
We should take this out. I feel like we would have dated.
No, leave
I'm
it
like,
in.
I have this weird feeling.
But, I mean, okay. Honestly, but, I am no person to judge because I watch Golden Girls and I feel that Beatrice Arthur is my spirit guide. So I understand having a connection with someone that maybe you've met once or have never met and have just like experienced through the screen. I get it.
Naz, I mean, Lauren, do you think I would have dated Zach?
I think you may have had some kind of obsession with
him. No, not an obsession. We would have gotten along so well.
She's like, no, okay. We would have been married. Like, I will tell you, Ashley, over Scott Eastwood, I do think I would see you more with Zach, but I don't know either of them that well.
I see you way more with Zach than Scott
Eastwood. And you were obsessed with Scott Eastwood.
I also think that Jared now...
totally. She's like, totally. Okay, we would have been married.
I think Jared now would be best friends with Zach. Like, if Jared and Zach met, like, they would be best friends. Yeah. But does...
So what you're saying is Zach is like Jared, and you would have been with Zach.
Okay, there we go. That's it. So... Do we think that Zach has this appeal overall? Like everybody thinks that they'd be friends or would date him?
No, because I'm telling you right now, as someone that like I'm not fascinated by him like you are. I don't know much about him. I feel like his persona to me is very like I'm very indifferent, and I don't know. He's just somebody that was in High School Musical that is like jacked now in my head.
Oh, you have to get to know him better.
I know, I do.
I think that maybe all you have to do is watch a couple episodes of that show.
I will,
but he's
I'll
super jacked now. He said he got addicted to the gym. Like when he was trying to quit drinking, he replaced it with the gym, and now he's trying to find a healthy balance between both.
Oh. Does he not? I was gonna say, does he not drink?
He doesn't drink. He's
I didn't know that.
So everyone was like body shaming him because he's not like the cut ripped Zac Efron
he's
anymore.
Not lean. And he's like man body.
Yeah, everyone was calling it a
but
dad
it's not
bod.
A dad
people
bod.
Fucking ridiculous.
It's not.
People were body shaming Chadwick Boseman, who no one knew had colon cancer. Yeah. Like, shut the fuck up. Don't write a comment on anyone's body.
Yeah,
like,
I know.
Who cares?
Right, exactly.
But Zach was getting all these dad bod comments when the show came out.
And he's like, I am a healthy, balanced individual now. You should not be judging me for not being addicted to the gym or addicted to alcohol.
Jared wanted to go off on that because Jared looked at that and he was like, that is a healthy man's body. To call this a dad bod is so ridiculous.
So crazy.
And it's funny to see. You should watch, like, my favorite episode so far is definitely this Italy episode where he goes to a blue zone. Lauren, did you watch it?
Yeah.
Oh, you did. So he goes, so now you totally understand why, like, I'm talking, saying.
Yeah, because she's
like, you
really
understand why
things.
I'd be married to him.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, totally. I understand.
Okay, so he explores this culture. It's called a blue zone. There's a couple around the world where there's more people that turn 100 years old than, like, anywhere else.
Oh, that's fascinating.
It's really cool. So he goes around there, like, and talks about their diet and their genes and all this stuff. And he's, like, so fascinated by the fact that, like, they eat more carbs than anything else.
He's like, I've had a carb in 15 years.
Well, that makes him unrelatable to me.
I know, but he's happy to know that he can eat carbs now.
Great.
And live longer.
Wow, well, the more you know.
Okay. All right, Naz, give us one more.
Okay, so my last, I get it. It's so annoying, but... I'm like kind of laughing at myself for, like, even bringing it up. It's not, like, that big of a deal, but I really get high fashion. And
Oh my god, stop. See, we don't. This is a huge I don't get it tomorrow.
Okay.
And
I understand high fashion when the scene in The Devil Wears Prada, when Anne Hathaway walks in with the blue sweater that she no doubt picked out of, like, a clearance rack bin at the Gap. And Miranda Priestly just says to her, like, you're also blithely unaware of the fact that in 2002, Oscar de la Renta did a collection of cerulean gowns. And I think it was Yves Saint Laurent, wasn't it, who showed cerulean, I don't know how to say it, military jackets. I was just like, yes. Like, what most people don't realize is that, like, a designer,
everything you wear.
A designer has come up with something. Everything you wear, there's, like, thought into it. It was made and pulled from something in high fashion, delivered to the masses. And so when people are like, I don't understand fashion, and I'm not going to get into the nuance of, like, how, like, I don't like fast fashion. Fast fashion's, like, you know, all these companies that, like, reproduce clothes, like, so much that you wear once or twice and then you throw out, and it's, like, so bad for the environment. I can go on and on with that. But when it comes to, like, high fashion, I, like, get it. I love it.
Lauren.
I just love it.
I mean,
as somebody who went to fashion school,
I get it. Like, I think that there's some beautiful things, and I think it is 100% art. I just think, like, it's hard for everyone to get behind it because no one can actually wear it and enjoy it and afford it.
I get it too. Like, and I can't, I'm speaking as someone that can't either.
Yeah.
I appreciate it, and I'm interested in it, and I'm passionate about it, and I like reading about designers and knowing what's on the runway and, like, trends. And so I know that that is a very superficial thing, but I it's just something I really like and I'm really into.
I understand. I'm not gonna go against your contradictor or anything.
But you are allowed to, and we would still be friends because that's how
absolutely
we operate.
Exactly. Yes, I would 100% unleash on you if I disagreed.
Okay, so I also agree that it is art, and there's interesting history to it, and I like the way that it represents time periods and all of that. I also think it's nice to have, like, a staple or two that is pretty high fashion if you can afford it, that makes you feel like you're gonna buy this and you're gonna wear it forever. It's always gonna be part of your wardrobe, something like classic. Like, I have that Balmain leather jacket that I got at the thrift store.
Mm-hmm. That you actually probably can't wear forever because that will go out of fashion in about
you're
5 years.
You're probably right. Yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah.
But you guys,
but you can
it
save
was
$300
and I and it was originally $1,200, and it's just, like, the greatest bar, like, it's the greatest buy, one of the greatest physical buys of my life.
Mm-hmm. I also like buying vintage, like I've been sourcing vintage pieces now that, because to me, I'm like, well, this is sustainable, better for the environment.
And it's
so
cool.
Yeah. And that's, it's just shit. Cool. I like buying vintage. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If I could find cool things at thrift stores, I would only buy thrift store stuff.
Exactly. Same.
Just the digging takes
that's
forever.
True. Yeah. That's true. I have to say, though, that, like, I would never be the person who watches these fashion shows or looks at celebrities in the high fashion and think, like, oh, I really, really want that. I really need that. Like, that's going to bring joy to my life. Like,
right.
I know that the dress that I get for $100, I might love just as much as the dress that's, like, over $1,000.
Right.
And I also know myself well enough that after I wear something like three times, I'm just over it and it doesn't make me feel as pretty anymore as it originally did.
Right, which is like science, but yeah. I just love, I look at it as art. Like I love it and appreciate it. My Metcalf is my favorite. Before we have Uncle Robert on, because of the whole Black Lives Matter movement, I've been doing like more research, and a friend of mine actually knows how much I love fashion. And my friend Brian, I just wanted to share this with you guys in the podcast. I think it's so cool and interesting because I've always been fascinated with Jackie O and her partnership with Halston and like how she made sort of like the hats that he made really big. And so most people don't know that her wedding dress, which is an iconic wedding dress, was designed by a Black woman, an African-American fashion designer named Anne Lowe, who never received credit for making Jackie O's dress, like in her lifetime. So when people would ask Jackie O who made the dress, Jacqueline Kennedy would say like it was a colored woman. And this woman, Anne Lowe, she would make dresses. She was like the best. And all the white women like knew she was the best. But she, I think she actually had to slip through the back door to get to give Jacqueline Kennedy like the wedding dress, because they were so racist.
This is the wedding dress.
The wedding dress. So if you guys look up Anne Lowe, A-N-N-L-O-W-E, she's iconic. I think that more people need to know who she is and what her name is. But anyways, I just wanted to share that. I've been trying
that
to...
That is crazy.
Yeah, it really is insane. I mean, obviously, I mean, like,
I
is
can't
it
believe
after
Jackie
everything
O would say that. Like, you think of Jackie O as such like a, you know, top tier lady, progressive. Yeah. That she would say a colored woman.
Oh, they were like,
well, I mean, back then, I mean,
yeah.
It's back in the day, yeah.
Yeah.
Not even back in the day. Like, people are like that now, but yeah, exactly. Isn't that crazy?
Okay. Yeah, that is crazy. You want to know something else? Fucking crazy. Speaking of Jackie, you guys, guess how old she was without looking up when she became first lady?
38.
I have no idea. Like, literally no idea.
My guess was 38 too, Lauren.
Oh, okay.
She was 32.
What?
Wow.
She was my age and first lady.
That's cool.
Wow.
But you have to think, it is crazy now because women have kids so much later. But think about back then, people had kids at like 25, 20. Yeah. You know, I mean, people still do, obviously, but you know what I mean.
She was a really young president, though, right?
Well, he was the second youngest president. Do you want to know who was the youngest president? Sorry, these are weird things I looked at this week.
No, I love it.
Okay.
Who?
Wait, is it someone that we have come to love, or some random person?
No, he's beloved in a sense, but like you won't think of him for this.
Okay, who is it?
Teddy Roosevelt.
Really?
Oh, how old was he?
He was like 9 months younger than JFK was. I think he was 40. He may have been 41. Wow. 41 or 42.
Interesting. That's still very young for president.
And then did you know that Jackie and JFK were 10 years apart?
No, but that doesn't surprise me.
It doesn't surprise me. Yeah.
I thought they were like 7 years apart, which in my head sounds a lot less than 10.
Okay. Okay. There you go. It's so funny. Seven does sound a lot less than 10, but
yes. Yeah.
That is our I get it. It is now time, Ashley,
to bring on Uncle Robert. Uncle Robert, thanks for joining us today. So you guys, Uncle Robert is my dad's uncle. He loves the Beatles.
Nope. No,
he
he's not your dad's uncle. Interesting...
He's not our dad's uncle.
He's my dad's brother. our uncle on my dad's side. And well, he's a very interesting human being. So, so smart. And I'd like him to start with something that he texted us a couple weeks ago. And it really did mind boggle me. And it really made me think, I don't get it.
Ashton and I have something in common. We love chocolate, and especially chocolate ice cream. And we have no clue why anyone considered vanilla their favorite ice cream. And from what I've read and understand, vanilla is the most popular ice cream there is. I don't get it.
Well, Uncle Robert, we've discussed this way back, like the first year we did our podcast. And it is crazy that vanilla is, I mean, that's why everyone says vanilla, right? Because it is the most common flavor that everyone likes. But do we think it's because it's not as rich? Do you think some people just like things that aren't as rich? I agree, though. I love chocolate.
I think maybe you go with the most basic.
Well, I think for me, and I think Ashley also, chocolate is so deeply satisfying that why would you consider anything else? And she often says when she goes into an ice cream shop, Baskin Robbins or something, 52 ice creams, there are all these exotic flavors, all these flavors that you should explore and experience. And you consider them all, and you end up walking out of the place with a chocolate ice cream cone.
1,000%. I will never, first of all, I eat chocolate all day, every day, like in between all my meals. Like I have to have a piece of chocolate. So I really am a chocoholic. Yeah. But yeah, I don't get it. Like when I go to Jenny's, people will be like, you have to try the blueberry crunch or whatever. Ugh. And I'm like, yeah, I'm sure it's fine, but it's not going to be as good as their milkiest milk chocolate.
I know. I truly don't understand why there are so many people out there that experiment with these wacky flavors, because I know that that weird flavor isn't as good as just a plain chocolate with rainbow sprinkles.
What about the people that get cotton candy and gummy bears, you know?
Well, I like gummy bears in my chocolate. What's your favorite topping?
Yeah, but she means just the flavor.
Yeah, I'm a purist. I don't consider sprinkles and nuts and things like that when I consider my ice cream choices. Not at all, no.
But moving on to another food, Uncle Robert was talking about oranges a couple weeks ago, and I was like, wow, I don't know.
Okay, oranges. Now, this I pretty much know the answer to. It's just that I send out these texts just because they occur to me.
I love it.
What came first, the orange? Or did the name come first? Meaning, did they name orange from an orange, or
the color, the name color. Of the color? You're saying, right?
Right, right. So, but the color had to come first, right? There are orange sunsets. There are, you know.
Yes, that is a lot great of
orange flowers.
That is a fantastic. I don't really, get it. I'm going to say the
fruit chicken or the egg
first.
Debate.
I think the fruit came first because fruits were around like before the English language.
Exactly.
But the sun was around and apparent to everyone all the time, and it sets in orange.
What if we called the sun an orange? That's an orange. That's the orange. The orange in the sky.
Sometimes it's a lemon.
We were very uninnovative or not innovative when we're coming up with the names of that particular fruit. Banana is a great name, and we really worked hard to create that word, you know? Banana. That's fun. It looks funny, and that's why we named it banana.
It's fun. It is
but
fun.
It does suit.
Wait, Lauren, I cannot disagree more. I'm also oddly going through an orange phase this year. I think that's my color of the year, even though contrary to Pantone's color of the year. Or I am so into orange. I love the word orange. I think it's so fun to say. I think the syllables, like anything that starts with an O is so fun. It's like, oh, and then it's like, orange, orange.
Wow. How high are you right now?
And I think the color
orangutan
is so unique. Orangutan. Yeah. It reminds me of the Tang
orangutan
pouch
is
juice.
Fun.
Remember the Tang pouch juices?
Mm. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Uncle Robert, is there more intellectual I don't get it that you have?
Probably not. Most of them are probably generational.
Yeah.
For example, and this may be a topic that you guys might want to use in the future as you gain more experience. And now that you're married, you have a different experience. What did you think was I don't get it? And now you get it.
Well, I guess I get how to be in a relationship now, because at the beginning of the podcast, I was like, and then when I do get a boyfriend, like, what do I talk about all day? Like, do we talk all the time? Is it going to get boring? And now I get how it goes.
Which is how?
I can't really explain it.
You no,
have to try.
It will change too, you know, relationships change and your interests change and, you know, it grows in some ways and it's a dynamic situation. Like
Uncle Robert,
but staying on this topic, what do you not get about millennials?
Millennials. Let me just start with this about my experience. When I was younger, I used to ride around the neighborhood. And I used to see people my age in the front yard picking weeds. And I would say to myself, don't they have anything better to do? Guess what I do on weekends? I'm out in the yard picking weeds.
Well, now, this is a leaves.
Generational thing that...
Like, why are you raking leaves? They're just going to come back.
Oh my God, I used to have to rake leaves when I was little in the backyard.
It's just a chore to make you do a chore. It doesn't mean anything.
I think it means something. If there's leaves everywhere in Florida, it would rain and they'd get all mushy. And I remember my dad would give me a rake, and I haven't even thought about a rake until you said leaves, Lauren. I like forgot about rakes. They're so weird.
I know I shared this on the podcast before, but I have to talk about it again since you said rake. Do you know that when I was getting prepared for kindergarten and getting my school supplies, I said to my mom, "Mom, but when do I get the rake?" And then she goes, "Why would you get a rake?" I go, "Because I'm going to kindergarten. We're going to garden." Is that?
That's really cute. Translation. I mean,
Ashley.
I
thought the same thing.
Okay, now to get back to millennials. I have two questions. First of all, let's talk about facial hair. As you can see, I have some. My question is, when does a beard get too long? You know, I see these men now with these huge Victorian beards, and I used to look at the cough drop packages by the, was it the Smith Brothers or whatever? And they used to have these long Victorian beards.
Idea.
I said, will that ever come back? I said, no way is that ever going to come back. Here we are. I see it all the time.
I think it depends on how attractive the person is underneath the beard. I was going to say, less attractive, you'll have a longer beard. And you can shape it up to make your cheekbones and your jawline look amazing. And that can be extra long and to hide some extra fat on your face. But if you're very handsome, I think the length should be shorter.
First of all, I got to say, I love a beard. And I think this is a great question. Uncle Robert, how long should a beard be? Obviously, anybody can have their beard as long as they want. Personally, I think it depends on your face shape.
Yeah.
So I think if you have more of like an oval face, you can get away with sort of a longer beard if you groom it and use beard oil.
No,
and like
the longer the face, the less you can have a beard.
If you have a round face or a square face,
you can have a beard.
You want them to look like
Dumbledore.
No, I think you can pull it off. I think it's like that motorcycle look, you know? I don't know.
I enjoy all
I think for an attractive man, you just like beards in all shapes and sizes?
I love beards.
Well, okay, if it gets like...
I like scruff. Like,
I think if you can braid it, that's a little much for me, and then I think I'm dating Santa Claus.
I agree. I don't like when it's like long in the middle. I like when it's all one length, but I'm with you, Ashley. I like a 5 o'clock shadow.
Yeah.
And I like scruff. I'm just saying, I think... If you have a round face and a long beard, I think like a long one that sort of just has like a tip, I think that's weird. I think you have to have an oval face for that type of beard, I think.
Okay.
Okay, just still on the subject, how about the other extreme? What about metrosexuals? How much grooming should a guy do? Is there too much grooming?
Yeah. I think unibrow is probably the only thing they should really be plucking. And I think they should take care of their skin. I think using good skincare products is something I'd really like Jared to get behind. Because, you know, that's more of like preserving your face in the long run and like preventing acne and stuff and just having an overall sense of like smelling good, good hygiene.
Well, let me say,
I wouldn't, don't go overboard, you know, like Ryan Seacrest like tints his, he's the poster child for metrosexuals, and he like tints his eyelashes, but he's also on TV a lot. So that's a different story.
When I think of grooming in like the nether regions for men, I really dislike over-groomed down there. I think that's gross.
I have
no comment on that.
Thank you.
I feel like the world right now, where it currently stands, is very behind men with a lot of hair. I think women have always liked men with a lot of hair, but I think we went through a phase in the 90s and 2000s where metro was really in. And I think that had to do with boy bands and a couple of, it was just like the look. And I think hair, a lot of hair and facial hair is like really in right now. And I actually wonder, you know how like big eyebrows are in right now. I wonder if it'll ever go back to thin eyebrows and like the metrosexual look.
As it far will.
As trend. You think it will?
I mean, thin eyebrows for women?
Thin eyebrows for women and less facial hair on men and like the more metro look. I wonder if those will come back.
Let me tell you, they were thin in like when the 20s, then they got bushy again, then they got thin again, then they got bushy again. And you never thought like in the 80s, in the early 2000s, we would make fun of people for wearing high-waisted pants so much.
Wow. And yeah,
now
that's so
we're
true.
Not wearing high-waisted jeans. We would never wear low-waisted pants. So it's going to come back. It's all a circle. We will have thin eyebrows one day.
Oh, I can't wait.
Well, I can say with confidence, nasal hair will never be in.
No.
Okay. You forgot. I forgot to mention that. Nothing drives me more nuts than Jared not paying attention to his nose hairs. And it's just always there, always sticking out of his nose. I'm like, you're such a beautiful man. I don't want to be looking at your nasal hairs. That'd be the first thing that I look at. But of course I do that as his wife, because I'm just like, why can't he just take care of himself?
Oh my God.
Uncle Robert, what are your thoughts on nasal?
One second.
Okay.
This is to Ashley. Get used to it.
I'm watching. I'm looking at your nose hairs now.
It gets harder to keep it groomed. It grows faster. It grows in places you can't see. And even when you think you see it, your vision's not the same unless you have those mirrors that come right up to your face. You're going to find here in your ears and in your nose and God knows.
I have a question, Uncle Robert. Yes. I have a question. Because as most women, I don't want to say all women, most women who don't like a lot of facial hair, it doesn't matter what you like, but the women that don't are very adamant about looking in the mirror and keeping track of that stuff. Do you feel like men are as apt to keep track of it? Like, why don't you look for those things in the mirror, I guess, is my question.
Well, I'm aware of it. Keeping up with it sometimes is a challenge. Now, these guys who have the bushy eyebrows.
But what is a challenge? What do you mean it's a challenge? How is it a challenge?
Well, like I said, it's a vision thing with me now.
Oh, okay.
I'm not close enough to the mirror
to see all the
details. But I'm aware of it. I try to keep up with it, but it takes more and more time, and I envy you women. I'm sorry, I'm not envy. I understand. I feel bad that you have to take the time you do to keep up with your appearances.
I have a question going beyond this. So last week we had a sex caller come on and talk to us, and when we asked her...
A sex phone operator.
We asked her I don't get it. And her I don't get it for life was monogamy. And I want to know your take on this. Do you think that people can be monogamous? Because I don't know your stance on this.
Okay, well, do I think? Yes, I do. But the challenge is always there for everyone. I mean, to turn off your attraction and sexuality is just unrealistic. We all live in our own worlds. We're the hub of all of our experience. We all live separate lives, even though we're together. Mm-hmm. And we're all, as well as we know someone, we're all a mystery to each other. But yes, I do think we can be monogamous. And it's just a choice and a challenge that you have to make.
But it sounds like what you're saying is that innately, as humans, we're not. So do you believe that, like, it should be? Well, like, that should be the
I
norm?
I think there's a difference between being attracted and carrying it out.
Yeah, for sure.
That's the big difference. I think you can like have like a little bit of a crush and you can be like, that person's really hot. Like, I think that person's very like attractive to me. Like, I like their personality. I like their face and stuff. But it's just about like having that desire to touch them that's the choice.
Yeah, it's like I choose you every day is the choice. Yeah,
love is a choice every day you wake up. Yes. When you're like finally in relationships, is it scary that's like always a thing? Is that always a thought, like, oh, is my partner going to be more attracted to this person? Or do you just sort of like have this trust that like it's never going to be an issue?
Uncle Robert can answer first.
We all want to be special, right? And nurturing parents make us feel special. And then the real world approaches, and you have to deal with all these conflicting feelings. And, you know, you different people deal with it in different ways. And it depends on the state of your relationship, your circumstances. But if it's something you want to do and you know that at the moment you may want to do it, but you know looking back you're going to regret it, mm-hmm. that's something you to consider. And if you consider that, I think you can meet the challenge.
Mm-hmm. I don't really feel like I have much to like elaborate on, but no, Naz, I don't ever sit around thinking like, is Jared thinking about somebody else?
Right.
I never think like that. Like, I guess I just assume that he thinks the way that I would think. Like, if I see somebody cute, I'd be like, oh, that person's really cute.
Right.
And he's allowed to think that, but I don't, because I don't think beyond, I guess I assume that he doesn't think beyond something like that.
Right, right. That makes sense.
Is there anything about more about our culture that you don't understand today? Like, but without getting political.
He's like, that eliminate everything.
That's hard for me, but tattoos. Tattoos were almost taboo when I was very young. Only pretty much military guys had them.
Oh.
Now, I have nothing against tattoos, and some of them are probably even attractive or symbolic, so I get that. The question to me is how many are too many tattoos? And I know that there are cultures that, like Polynesians, who wear it for different reasons, but I'm strictly for cosmetic reasons or adornments, how many are too many?
Hmm. I like your word adornments that you used.
We'll pick that up.
Fantastic vocabulary.
I think it's just like the beard. You know, I think it's preference based on like women. I think the thing I don't like about, I'm glad you brought up tattoos because I think people are very quick to judge a book by its cover, especially now that we have dating apps and you see pictures. So I think a lot of my friends that are single will be like, oh, he has too many tattoos. I don't know. I wouldn't want to marry someone with a lot of tattoos. And I actually think it's so crazy to discount someone based off just tattoos. My friend she doesn't like tattoos. She started talking to someone. And the guy actually ended up being super religious and conservative.
Wow.
And had a bunch of tattoos. And I was like, see, you just never know. So
you never know. A lot of people do get tattoos like for their family or for someone that passed away. But like for me, I could literally have tattoos up to the chin and find it to be hot. Like it could be all around the face. And I
me
like
too.
It. But that's for men. Me personally, as a woman, I think I would just want tiny little baby ones. But nothing okay. huge.
Lauren, for your information, I have two friends.
Yes.
Who see a tattoo on a girl and it flips a switch. It's over. It could be Nicole Scherzinger. And if they see a tattoo on a girl, they're not interested. I don't know if it's because it's a physical thing or they extrapolate to how this girl thinks. I don't know.
Hmm. Well, shout out to Nicole Scherzinger. If you're interested in Uncle Robert, he's interested in you.
Wait, is Uncle Robert, are you married?
I am not.
Oh.
How weird is that?
That's not weird, but why aren't you married?
I don't know. I had a couple of long relationships, but they didn't work out. And I'm a firm believer in marrying your friend. Aww. Maybe I just didn't find the right friend yet.
Okay, this is fascinating. I want to know what it's like dating for you at your age then. Because people are on apps. Are you on websites and apps?
It doesn't happen. Let me tell you, gray hair and no hair is a huge flag.
No, it's not. No, it's not. What would your dating profile be if we got you on an app?
You'd have to explain what that, you know, what do you mean by
profile? What would be your blurb?
You describe yourself.
I'd have to think about that. Notice. I'll submit that in writing later.
Wait, Uncle Robert, why aren't you on dating apps?
Because I just think there's too much work involved. I always thought I would just meet someone and you get the whole show at once. and I can, you know, if I put on a profile, you know, I'm bald, I'm 61, I'm taking care of my 97-year-old mother. How many replies do you think I would get?
I think you'd get a lot amount.
Uncle Robert,
I think you would get a lot.
I think you were missing out on like literally a plethora of women that would be so down to meet. And even just to go on dates would be fun. There are so many people your age that are dating right now. It would be so fun to get out and just talk to people. 50s. And you're a great conversator.
But I don't want to make him feel like we're like trying to like get him on the apps and this is the way that we got him on the podcast. But I do want to know how you feel about keeping in touch with exes, because I'm thinking back on the one ex that Lauren and I knew. And I know that you guys kept in touch for a while. Do you think that that's a healthy thing that you're how do you deal with that?
Well, I think it's good. I just think it just wanes after a while. Mm-hmm. You know, I never left in really bad terms with any of my girlfriends. It's just that they want to move on with their lives, and I want to move on with mine, so it just goes away.
So does it fade away, or do you cut it off?
I guess that would depend on the circumstances, but in my case, mostly fades away, yeah.
Well, that's where Lauren gets her treats from.
Yeah. Uncle Robert, if you could go back and give your 15-year-old self advice, what would you give it? What would you give him?
One I said already, marry your best friend. And when you deal with the world, don't be the path of least resistance.
What does that mean?
Don't be.
Because if people see you as an easy mark, they're going to travel your road and take advantage of you. So those are the only, you know, a good one and a bad one.
So you mean like don't be a pushover is what you're saying?
Exactly.
So you guys, growing up, Uncle Robert always told me when I would come over completely in sync obsessed that one day I would look back and tell him that the Beatles were a better band. And I think I'm still waiting for that day to hit me.
What? Actually, there's no way.
I don't get it.
There's no
he doesn't get it. Sorry.
Way you think NSYNC is better than the Beatles. I don't believe
Ashley, you know music. Okay. Musically, you have
come
to
come on,
that.
Ashley. Come on.
You guys, I still like I understand the being like the founders of the music, which I totally appreciate, but I still when it comes to like founding sounds or sounds of that era, they're still not my favorite sounds of the era.
What's your favorite?
Like, I still
sound
prefer Elton
era.
In the 70s. Like, I'm still, you know, like, I'm still an Elton person.
Well, the Beatles were influenced by.
Yeah, it's not one
too,
or the like other.
The Everly Brothers and Chuck Berry.
Yeah.
And many others. You can hear it in their music. If you go back and you study it, you can see.
Okay, so I guess what I'm saying is I have a great appreciation for the Beatles, but if I were going to go and choose to listen to Sgt. Pepper or Celebrity, I would go and listen to Celebrity, okay? I'm sorry.
That's
I still would.
Crazy.
What is a day in history? Because, you know, I know that you like history and politics. What's a day in history that you think stands out to you the very, very most? I mean,
that you were alive for.
It's got to be the moon land.
Yeah, Lauren, yeah. Obviously, that he experienced.
You did not clarify.
It has to be the moon landing. I mean the spectacle itself, but when you reflect on where we've come from and how we got here and all the obstacles, think about just feeding ourselves for thousands of years. It's a full-time job, clothing ourselves and things, and then getting sick and disease, overcoming all of those things and then really exploding in the 16th and 17th century as far as our technology.
Isn't that the wackiest thing ever? I talk about it all the time. This might be my ultimate I don't get it. We created the car in what, the last decade of the 1800s? And then six decades later, we were on the moon? Like, how does that happen? That I'm going to crown that as of right now, my biggest I don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
It's so true, and it's just going to accelerate. You guys don't know, probably, because of when you were born. I saw the computer mass-produced, and the changes since then are just disorienting completely. So you guys can say now, okay, boomer, but you have no idea the changes we've seen in the last 30 years about changing our lifestyle.
Yeah.
At some point, you're just going to give up learning because you're like, I've already changed a bajillion times in learning this new technology. I'm just going to stick with what
I know. It's so crazy how the computer, the first computer was like an entire room. it was like a control room. It was massive. Right. So when when the Macintosh came out, was it the Macintosh that was first?
Yeah, I think that was the first personal computer.
I'm not sure.
I can't remember.
That's a Jared
question.
Like,
it was so game changer.
Yeah. Well, the big computers were used fuses. Do you know what fuses are?
No.
Have you ever seen a fuse?
No.
Fuses were these bulbs that were in the back of TVs, and they used them as transistors then, which deciphers your information. Anyway, and so they were the size of the room. And then when they came in with transistors and solid-state electronics and made things small and condensed them smaller and smaller and made processors the size of the tip of your finger, they could put these things in phones and in your stove and in your microwave, and everything changed. And it was just accelerating ever since.
I just want to conclude by saying thank you.
Thank you. My pleasure. I'm honored that you choose me as a guest.
Aw, thanks for coming on, Uncle
Our
Robert.
Pleasure. Goodbye.
I Don't Get It Podcast.